we're very thankful this morning to God for allowing us to see a new day, one that wasn't promised to us, and one we'll never see again. We're thankful to God for each and every person that's on the call this morning, and so thankful to be serving with these brethren who've worked with me so far in the services of the Lord. If you visit with us and not a member of the Church of Christ, you are a very honored and distinguished guest of the audience. We call you our VIP, a very important person to us. We believe in the Churches of Christ that the Bible is right. Every word of the Bible is right. People need to understand that there's a straight and narrow way that only a few will find. We're seeking that straight and narrow way by holding to the Scripture without adding to them or taking away from them. To be saved, you must believe that Jesus hung, bled, and died on the cross of Calvary. And after they took him down off that cross, he was buried in a borrowed tomb. And early on a Sunday morning, he resurrected with all power in his hands and gave the command to go into all the world and preach this gospel, the good news of his death, burial, and resurrection, that he that believeth is baptized shall be saved. Jesus said that in Mark 16:15-16. So if you believe that, you too would be one who would respond to the gospel message that's been prayed for on this morning, that you would respond by asking, what must I do to be saved? And believe that with all of your heart, what Jesus said, do. Believe that he is the Son of God. Repent of your sins. Confess him to be the Son of God and be willing to be buried with him. Washed in the blood of the Lamb in baptism. Then the Lord adds you to this, the only church you can read about in the Bible. That is the Church of Christ. So if you're not a member of the Church of Christ, then certainly that's the only church we could talk about from this book. I would encourage you to obey the truth, that you too may see Jesus' peace, face in peace, and hear him say, well done. To those of our brothers and sisters across the nation, we pray that you'll be encouraged by being on our call and be edified and be strengthened from the Word of God. This morning, we will look at Philippians chapter 2, starting in verse 19. We will talk about Timotheus and Epaphroditus. That's Timothy. You know about Timothy. And Timothy was close to Paul. We'll talk about that. But I want to also make an application this morning. That these attributes and things I'm going to talk about today applies to all servants of the Lord. Paul often had sisters as well that he talked about. You know, it was like the Timothys and the Epaphroditus. In Romans chapter 16, he talked about Phoebe. He talked about Priscilla and Aquila, helpers to him. He talked about Epaphroditus. He talked about Mary and Andronicus and Junia. He talked about Amphilus, Urban, Nestaeus. He talked about Tarfina and Typhrosus. All these are Romans in Romans chapter number 16, Rufus, Syntychius, Philemon, Hemus, Patrobus, Hermes. Now, these are all people that he talked about. Julia, there's another sister. And I just want to say that as I make these applications, I want us all to think about this. This is a time, we came out of last week's conversation about the loneliness of mind and how important it is that we know that we all need each other. I think one of the greatest things that's come out of the pandemic is the need for fellowship and for us to recognize the importance of the common fellowship and the bond as a family that we have. If we hadn't got going through this, we may have taken these things for granted. But I know I felt, and I'm sure you have too, that we truly are one for another, praying for one another, being there for each other. And it's brought to my attention, and I'm sure you have too, that void is there when you have that disconnect. And so I think God has taught us some lessons through this. And I want to talk about these two men this morning. We'll start at verse 19. Where Paul writes, But I trusted the Lord to Jesus to send Timotheus, or Timotheus, it's pronounced two different ways, shortly unto you. So he's recognizing, and he even did in Philippians chapter 1 and verse 1, he mentioned Timothy when he wrote this letter to Philippi. So he's very close to him. He considered him a servant of Jesus Christ. And he greeted them, this letter from him and Paul. That's Philippians 1 and verse 1. Now, Timotheus is somebody that was very close to the Apostle Paul. At a time when he's in prison, remember this, he's in a dungeon, a dark place, awaiting a trial, and he don't know the outcome of the trial. Cold dungeon, dark. And I describe that dungeon, those type cell, prison cells, not like what we see today where men sitting there with TVs and comfortable sleeping arrangements. That's not what he was. His conditions were very poor. But he had this young man in mind. And first thing he says, and what I want to talk to us about, is Paul trusted the Lord to send Timotheus unto the Philippians while he could not get to him himself. And, you know, I don't know. I want everybody to kind of put themselves in the mirror right now to kind of feel what I'm going to be talking about. Where are you located right now? Where are you at right now? Where are you living right now? Where are you serving right now? You may be in Houston and not even understand why you're there. But do we know God's hand is in those of his servants who are carrying out his will? And maybe we complain, you know, I don't want to be here and this is not what I wanted, but what if the Lord send you to someone? And you take the view that, why am I where I am today? Is it God using me because someone needs me in my presence? That's what was going on with Paul. And you may should think in terms of doing the best you can wherever you are, your locale, your location, and that you're putting your life in the hand of God. And your trust in God is going to guide your life. And his will is being done in your life. How many of you have thought about it like that? That I'm where I am because I'm a servant. Remember Philip and the eunuch? I'm sure he never knew God was going to send him to that desert for that one man. I don't know how. None of us have the future in mind or can know what the future holds. But one thing we can all do is trust the Lord to guide your direction in life. And as a congregation, we must do the work that the Lord has prescribed in the scriptures, and then trust God to guide our direction. Now, this is Apostle Paul who don't know the outcome of his trial. And there are a lot of things we can't know the outcome of. And I'm talking about things that are going, got you in a place that's dark, kind of like the dungeon, or like you're going through something and you don't know why you're going through it. But you have accepted the outcome to be the Lord's will. Here's why I say that. James said in James chapter 4, verse 13, go to now, ye that say today or tomorrow, we will go into such a city and continue there a year, and buy and sell and get gain. He says, whereas you know not what shall be on tomorrow, or tomorrow. For what is your life? It's a question mark. It is even a vapor that appeared for a little time and vanished away. And James says, here's the advice. You ought to say, if the Lord will, we shall live and do this or that. How many of us live with that thought in mind? This could be the last day of my life. We only can do what the Lord's will is for us to do. So life is short. Life will end. Life is the puff of smoke from the boiling water, the vapor. Let us learn from this verse to trust the Lord on a daily basis. Live in the present. You can't change, undo, redo, do over yesterday. You can't change the next hour. Many of us, including myself, because we live in the past or because we projected the future, the day of our life is stressed when you live like that. But when you learn to live in the present, the conditions of the past have no relevance. Only things relevant is what you have now. You say, what is that, Brother Brooks? Life. Life. And our life is in the hands of God. Paul said, I trust in the Lord to send Timotheus unto you shortly. And then he went on and said, here's why. That I also may be of good cheer when I know your state. Paul loved this congregation, and he wanted to know they were okay. And he would send Timothy to them. And he said, I have no man like-minded who will naturally care for your state. For all seek their own, not the things which are of Christ. Now, I hope there are some brothers and sisters that are looking in the mirror this morning, of Phoebe, of Timothy, of Epaphroditus, who, like Timothy, lived in such a way that Paul said it would bring comfort to him when he heard back from him about the church. Why? Because Timothy had a natural care for the state or the well-being of that congregation or the church as a whole. When a person naturally cares about the church. No one have to tell them to care. It will be from the heart. Now, here's one thing. The members of Holland Heights, when congregations go through different things, those who care about the state of that congregation will go through the valleys, will go to the mountaintops. They'll ride the wave. And that's what Timothy and in this congregation, Timothy, Paul knew there was no others like him. See, Timothy and Paul both loved this congregation. And he said there was others who seek their own, not the things which are of Christ. There's another lesson right there. And it goes back to last week, too. I mean, the lowliness of mind is that you put others first before yourself. This is a lesson to us from the book of Philippians that helps us to be kind, the kind of people who don't just seek our own, but seek the things which are of Christ. And to seek the things of Christ is to put God first. And be naturally concerned about what the state of the church or the congregation you serve is. Seeking the things of Christ is done on a day-to-day, moment-to-moment decisions. We seek the things of Christ in our planning of our lives. We seek the things of Christ by esteeming others higher than ourselves, by serving, getting involved, staying positive, giving right, trusting God, accepting His will. Why? It's not about being selfish or only thinking of myself. But there are others who need us in the world. There's ever a time when the congregation, churches of Christ need to make a difference in the world. The time is now. Look at what we're seeing in the world. If we seek the things of Christ, the end result will be souls will be saved. Souls will be restored. Souls will be revived and edified and encouraged. And that's what I want us to think in terms of thinking about others who need to be encouraged, people that are going through things right now. People, our brothers and sisters who lost loved ones through the pandemic, who are sick on their sick bed, who are going through difficulties in their relationships, who we hear the cry of those who are struggling with something in their lives, fight against sin, the fight against error, the day-to-day wear and tear of life. If you can see others and not seek your own, you can see the need as Paul saw the need for Philippi. He said in verse 22, but you know the proof of him, that as a son with the father, he had served with me in the gospel. So Timothy had a proven character before this congregation. See, brothers and sisters, every one of us got a character that's a proof of something. Every one of us. You don't have to go around and say, hey, look at me, I'm a Christian. Or here's what I do for the church and everybody who needs to know. No, you need to wave no flags. Your character, the proof of him, as Paul said, you know. Paul says, one of the things you know that he was a father as a son with the father. And he served. There's a servant, a son with a father. How about a a mother with a daughter? Is there some little young Timothy's on the call? There's a young Phoebe on the call who need someone in their life to serve with them. And I hope and pray that there's the brothers that are listening, the young Timothy's that are listening, the young brothers on the call, and the men who are father figures, that there's somebody out there that say, you know what, I want to serve with brother so-and-so as a son with a father. I want to serve with sister so-and-so as a sister, daughter to a mother. And I want that to be in the gospel. I asked the brothers on the call, the brothers of age, the brothers of experience, and I'm talking about life experiences, that are on the call today, that you know that you can be that mentor to a young man who needs a father figure in his life as a son in the gospel. What brother, is there a brother on the call who can't say you got somebody that looks up to you? Is there a sister on the call who can't say you have another sister, younger sister who looks up to you as a servant with her? It is a great goal for us all. Not just elderly men in physical age, or speaking of elderly sisters. I'm talking about you can be a young man with a younger man with you, if you will, middle-aged with young men. Certainly, the brothers on the call with young sons, what a privilege it would be to say, I serve my dad as my father in the gospel. I serve my mother, sister, young lady say, I serve my mother as my sister in the gospel. How many of you reached out to somebody that need your life experiences at a time where they don't know what to do or what's going on with them? They just need spiritual maturity. Do you have a brother? Do you have a son in the gospel? He said, Brother Brooks, I never try to lift myself up now. It's character I'm talking about. That someone sees something in you, in your service to the Lord, that teaches them to respect authority. See, you see young men today getting killed, disrespectful, going to prison at a young age, caught up in the streets, gang members, their fathers in the gospel, men of the world. What a Christian brother there. See, a good brother in the Lord will say, you know, no, we don't talk back to the police. We just put our hands up and say, yes, sir. So we've learned to respect authority from mama, from daddy, from sister, from brother. We've learned to respect authority by someone who has shown us what that is. And then that permeates through my life. I hope somebody was listening this morning. He said, Paul said, him therefore I hope to send presently. Paul's not released. As soon as I shall see how it will go with me. He didn't know what his verdict was going to be. He said, but I trust in the Lord. There he is again. That I also myself, he's talking about when he's released, shall come shortly. He said, I'll send Timothy, but I'm trusting to come myself. Paul had what we need in our lives. Because we don't have a crystal ball, because we can't tell what tomorrow holds, we can have patience and trust in the Lord that we'll get out of that dungeon. We'll get through this dark period of life. We'll get out of the shackles of sin and the torment and torture of the Satan who bombards us with all kind of things in life that could cause us to give up. But we don't have to give up, y'all. We can trust in the Lord. Everything will be all right one way or the other. Paul said, yet I suppose, verse 25, he means count, or I count it must necessary to send to you Epaphroditus, another brother and companion in the labor, fellow soldier, but your messenger and he that ministered to my wants. Paul was planning on sending Timothy, and he was hoping to go to Philippi himself. He was trusting the Lord that was going to happen. However, because he couldn't tell the future, Paul was willing to accept the Lord's will. And he said Epaphroditus was the one who would deliver this letter to them. Paul says, this guy, Epaphroditus, his name means lovely. He told them everything about him that he wanted them to know that he, how he felt about this man. He was a brother. He was a companion in the labor, a fellow soldier, and a messenger for the Philippian church congregation. He was the lovely brother that Philippi sent to minister to Paul while he was in prison. So the Philippian congregation had sent and ministered to Paul, as he said, he ministered to my wants. So here he is. So I got to send this guy. For he longed after you all and was full of heaviness because that he had heard that he had been sick. He had heard that he had been sick. Epaphroditus has been sick. When he went to minister to Paul, he obviously got sick there. And this congregation was full of heaviness, meaning that they was concerned, deeply concerned about the well-being in the hearts of this man, Epaphroditus. They wanted to see him. They wanted him to be okay. But they knew he was sick. How many of us, when we think in terms of our family, how high, when someone is sick, you're full of heaviness. It hurts to know someone among our family is dealing with a sickness. This congregation was very concerned. What should our attitude be? What should our hearts be when it comes to those we love, those we're close to, those who serve with us when they're sick? We should long after them to be better, to be healed, to come home from the hospital. This congregation was like that. But Paul said in verse 27, for indeed he was sick, Yeah, he was sick. Died to death. This man almost died. He was that sick. Which gives me hope. Because Paul said, but God had mercy on him. You know, how many of us been sick? And after our sickness, we didn't realize that God had had mercy on me, the sick person. Then Paul said, not just on him, but God had mercy on me. When you're close to someone like that, it hurts, it sorrows us to see them sick or to hear of them being hospitalized. But Paul said, when God brought him home, when he got better, he had mercy on the person that was sick, and him too. He said, me also, that I should have sorrow upon sorrow. Paul said, this man almost died, but I'm going to give God the credit. God had mercy on him. How many of our loved ones that have come home, that have gotten better, that made it through? I said, brother, my mom died. I'm talking about this. Listen carefully to me. We all going to die. This is not a lesson about not dying. That's not what this is about. This is about the times when you were sick and you know that only God could have brought you through. 900,000 people died from COVID. But God brought you home. Do you think for a minute, do we stop to think that God had mercy on me and not just me, others that love me, where they had sorrow upon sorrow because they're going through something? We must remember, when we get up from our sick beds, it's because God had mercy on us. When the doctor report comes back positive, good, better, improving, it's God who's having mercy on us, on you, and the people that love you. So what is the main thought here? Paul said, yeah, he was sick. But remember who did it. He's coming back because of God. Which tells me that the prayers of the righteous availeth much. Which I believe the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous. And that congregation was praying for him. Because they were heavy in heart. Their heart was full of heaviness. And when the best thing we can do for anyone who's sick is to put it in the hands of God and thank God